heart and soul of a nation, beckons the call. The voice of our forefathers heard in the distance.
A house divided against itself cannot stand.
To reclaim our honor.
Our soul. The challenges of a generation call out. Future generations hang in the balance. We choose liberty. This is the voice of a nation. And now, Malcolm.
It is not terribly unusual to see headlines that refer to the fact that we're divided. We're divided more than ever. And of course, I hear that, really hear it frequently enough. And then the question becomes, are we more divided than ever? Like ever? Or is this like just a passing moment of some sort? Because you see, there's always polls, there's headlines driving the narrative out there about the fact that we're divided as ever. Well, this one I seen in Reuters, the poll said Americans divided on party lines over the risk from the coronavirus. Okay, interesting. Went on to say Democrats are about twice as likely as Republicans to say the coronavirus poses an imminent threat to the U.S. And this was, this is a recent poll now. They said, and more Democrats than Republicans say they are taking steps to be prepared, including washing their hands more and limiting their travel plans. And the official poll was done around March, so this thing was just heating up, actually, the whole virus thing around the globe. In fact, in the states here, as you might recall, the early reports were the state of Washington and California and that sort of thing, you know. Well, listen, today I don't want to really talk to you about the virus. I mean, I'm a bit COVIDed out. You probably are as well. And I really don't want to talk to you about politics either, quite frankly, even though I start in this place. I want to talk to you today about human psychology in a bigger conversation as to what the hell are we doing here? And really, to be straight out with you here, let's agree to disagree and STFU. Well, this Reuters poll then went on to say that Americans find themselves politically divided over seemingly everything. But the political divide is nonetheless significant. About 4 in every 10 Democrats and about 2 in every 10 Republicans say the virus is going to kill us. It's an imminent threat, right? But I like this phrase here that to me captures everything. Listen to this. Americans increasingly surround themselves with people who share the same political views, so partisan perceptions echo not just through the channels and the outlets you're watching and reading and listening to and websites you're visiting, social media you consume, but it's also through your friends and your neighbors. And it really comes down to we sort of hang with like-minded people. Very seldom do you. In fact, it's the person who disagrees a lot or has a different opinion. It's just like when you were a kid, you would call them weird. They're unusual. Well, I was one of those weird, unusual kids for sure. I used to call it unique. You see, I thought that was a better way to say, yeah, you want to call me weird, that's fine. But I prefer to look at myself as being unique. But it's always that somebody that stands out in the crowd, right? That looks a little bit differently, that has a little different opinion, and then we push them aside and we kind of want, it's maybe they're not part of our tribe or part of our overarching message, potentially, you know? Well, here's the thought here. So this whole quarantine business that the world has been going through over the past couple of months here, I mean, we've actually been doing this right along. It's really not a new thought, the fact that we're locked in our homes or businesses, because really, people, we've been locked in our minds forever. We have quarantined ourselves as a species a long time ago. I mean, we really are all isolated in our thoughts and our minds. We really aren't open to the other opinions. I mean, just look at your media. Look at your social media. Look at the way we communicate as a people. Who's really open to the other thoughts? There is no open to the thoughts. It's my way or the highway or STFU. It's really that simple. And you'll see a lot of that tension come out. And then, of course, the pollsters like Reuters pick it up. Oh, the people are divided more than ever. But, you know, there's something bigger here as well, because we're supposed to be divided, really. I mean, how boring would the world be if we all acted and looked and were the same thoughts, beat to the same drum? I mean, it wouldn't work, people. We would completely fall. The earth would fall off its axis, and we'd all be dead at that point. That'd be worse than a virus, you see. We would completely shock the gods and human nature and physics, and we would all be immediately evaporated if we all started to think alike, act alike, and be alike. But yet there are a lot of people who can't get this through their brains. And a lot of people who are out there in media world or social media world, because let's face it, social media is really the connecting force that people use to stay connected today and associated with each other. It's how most people are today as they tune into their social media first thing in the morning, probably before they even have their coffee. It is their caffeine or it is their drug of choice. They get on there and they tell the next few people to go to hell, to STFU, right? Real simple. Feel better. It's like a cleansing. So it is a drug. Your endorphins get flowing. You feel really good. You get those likes and follows coming in, and it's a high, man. High, high, high. So why can't we all just get along, though? And, you know, as a political commentator myself, I see these polls come up from time to time, and it always focuses on our division. But yet, one of the beautiful things about humankind, and certainly one of the beautiful things about being an American, is that we all do have different opinions. It's called diversity. It's the diversity of thought. It's the diversity of opinion. But you can take this sample in really any Western country you can put it in. I mean, people have a diversity of thought, diversity of opinion. They think differently. By nature, humans are divided. We like to quarrel with each other. Sometimes we like to offset each other. Sometimes we just like to piss each other off. It is really part of human nature. But here's the catch. It's those people who insult with their vulgarness, and their only purpose is to demean other people. They have no other purpose. You know the people I'm talking about. You know exactly who they are. You've got people even in your tribe that are sort of like that, although you don't really keep them too close to you because they're a pain in the ass, quite frankly. But they're all over media. And probably on social media, you probably block a lot of them because that's the real fad out there. When you don't like somebody's opinion, you just block them. Go away. I don't want to hear from you anymore. Leave me the hell alone. STFU. Mm-hmm. See, that's the way it goes. That's the easy way to do it. Just like the calls that come into your phone, you don't like them, you can block them as well today. Well, you're entitled to your independence. You don't really have to have other thoughts jammed into your brain, do you? You see? But it's this fine line is what I'm seeing in the psychology of all of this as a people, as to why in that group of people who live, I mean, these people just wake up in the morning, they live, they breathe to insult as many people as they can. And they're vulgar in nature when they do it. And these people, their endorphins are just to demean as many people as they possibly can on the planet. That's what they live for. These people are, they're more than insensitive. It's hard to even hang around those kinds of people. Unless you're out drinking one night and you just want to have a great time and it really doesn't matter what the hell people are thinking. We've all been there as well, right? So what is it about those people, though, who insult on a regular basis just to get a rise out of you? They don't care about your feelings and what you're thinking or anything. That's the least of their worries. In fact, the more they can hurt your feelings or piss you off, the happier they are, actually. What is it about those people? In some ways, they stir the pot. They rock the canoe, I guess, sometimes not in a good way. But they are canoe rockers. And sometimes they do it just to get a rise out of people. Sometimes it's entertainment. It could be good fun. But other times, if you drill down into it, they're just hateful, vulgar, insidious kind of people. You might even be one of those people right now that are listening to me, thinking to yourself, am I one of those kinds of people, I wonder? But you know what it is about you folks who do that out there? It's not about the people you're insulting. It's not about the people you're demeaning or you're getting a rise out of or you're trying to intimidate in some way. Or we used to use another word called bullying, right? Bullying, that fits into this conversation as well. It's not about those people. It really is about you. It's about you. It's about or those people who you know. It's about them if it's not you. It's about their own insecurities. It's about their weaknesses. You see, people like this cannot stand on their own two feet. They are the weakest among us, quite frankly. And I'm happy to insult them, by the way. See, they can only achieve in the world by insulting and demeaning other people. Now, these people are a collective force all over social media. They can't get enough of it, you see. This is the magnet and the attraction is social media to these people because it's a way they can tell as many people as they possibly can that they suck and that they want them to STFU. The real lesson and point to all of this is it's not the people on the receiving end. It's those people who are dishing it out that really have the problems. These people have all kinds of issues and need a psychologist, obviously, quickly. Because these people will crash and burn at some point of their life. I mean, they've got a whole host of other problems, you know, going on, you know. I mean, it's not just the one thing. They have a whole host of issues in their life, clearly, to get to this point, to really need this endorphin flow every day because they're insecure. And they just, you know, they have weaknesses they don't know how to address. So the best thing they can do is to tear other people apart. And that they think that helps them somehow be a better person. I always wonder why people have the need to tear other people down. I mean, think about the energy that is expended there as they focus to tear other people down rather than spend it on something that might be worthwhile. Now, like everything in life, it's a fine line. It's a fine line between that and it's a fine line to respect opinions and thoughts. What I typically do for myself, and you probably have your own way of handling these turds when you come across them. When you come across them on social media, I never comment back to them. I wouldn't give them the oxygen in the room, ever. I don't get into the tit-for-tat match or any of that. That is far beneath me. What I do sometimes along the way is I'll hit the heart and like it, especially when they call me like all kinds of names. I just hit the heart and like it and move on to the next. Don't even give it a second thought. Hit the heart, like it, move on. Hit the heart, like it, move on. I figure this way here, we can maybe, take these insensitive people and tell them, you're not really bothering me. It's okay. The problem is you, not me. We're good with that. So this in essence, is, we talk about human psychology, but this is one of the biggest problems we're seeing out in the culture today. All roads and all paths of the division we find ourselves in lead to this point. But I'm here to tell you today, it's a beautiful thing that we all have different opinions, different thoughts. We think differently. We act differently. We're supposed to be different. And the more we understand that and the more we associate with those different people, I think the better off we are as a species. So I think we need to stop quarantining our thoughts. Stop isolating yourself. Open up your world a little bit. Bring other people and thoughts in. This is really the divisional point throughout the world, actually, is we've divided each other into these groups, into these tribes. Well, listen, friends, I think a lot of our big problems in the world really come down to the human psychology. The bigger the problem, the simpler the remedy. You know, just simple remedies to fix the bigger problems, but it's always about human psychology. The thing is, those of us who are part of the good camp, we have our eyes and our ears out with people who really want to do harm or those evil people because they exist. They will always be here on planet Earth. It's all part of the makeup of the world, really. I address that with you all the time on the program here. Well, listen, on the Voice of a Nation today, again, I want to talk to you more about the human psychology. A couple of interesting folks coming on with us as well to bring this and talk about why we're tearing people down, but what we get out of this thing, you know, and why our division is good for us. The one thing I've discovered through the whole COVID business as though that those people who didn't take care of themselves health-wise and let themselves go were the most at risk. You heard that a lot. So if they had underlying problems, issues, whatever they may be, they were at risk. And the stats have pointed that way. Those people that were at higher risk is where a lot of them have succumbed, you see. There's nothing more important than you feeling good about who you are. And you can do that, friends, by taking Healthy Cell. There's a reason I put my name on it and support it. All of our listeners get 20% off their first order. You'll see the banners right at AmericaOutloud.com or just go to HealthyCell.com/OutLoud. Biggest thing is take care of you first. If you don't take care of you first, you can't take care of anyone else, friends. It all comes back to you. Do yourself a favor and keep yourselves healthy. You'll feel a lot better for it and have a better shot at whatever the next virus or disease coming down the road is. Stay right there. We'll be back with more Voice of a Nation in just a moment.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health, sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep. But it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older, until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa, award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount or call 844-869-9958.
Listen to Malcolm, the Voice of a Nation, on iHeartRadio or our free apps on Apple, Android, or Alexa.
So the need for people to tear down other people is really an age-old problem. But I think a lot of people feel like it's them and it's not them. And what I want to do is flip the table and say, the people who are being that way typically have the insecurities, they have the weaknesses, and this is their way of lashing out at others. But you don't have to be a recipient of that kind of damage to your own brain and your own body. And it's kind of a fine line between that and opening up your world. And that's kind of what I see where the rubber meets the road here, is that fine line. I want to talk to you next about that fine line with Taz Thornton. And Taz is a weekly columnist here at America Out Loud. She is a best-selling author. She's a TED Talk speaker, TEDx speaker, yeah. She's the UK's number one inspirational breakthrough speaker, sometimes also known as Judgy McJudgeface, Miss Taz Thornton. Hey. So this fine line, Taz, I'm talking human psychology now, this fine line where people want to push this out there. And it's really a battle for a lot of people with that thinking, which you heard me talk about, and also this process of being not quarantined in our own brains and our own thoughts. Walk us through that fine line.
Well, there is a fine line here. And you know what I'm like, Malcolm. Normally, I'm all about kind of keeping the peace and understanding from both sides. But just this past week or so, I've kind of got sick of holding that line. I'm tired of people not taking control of their own thoughts. And it's not about quarantining. I think when we quarantine our own thoughts, you touched on it a little bit earlier, that it's so easy to just hit the block button on the social, or at least hit unfollow, because then they won't know we've blocked them and everything's lovely. And that can be great to an extent to keep ourselves sane. But we have to be so careful that we're not putting ourselves into a bubble. We can do this a lot. We live in a bubble. We surround ourselves with social media feeds where everyone has the same opinion as us. And then when somebody says something that is a contrary view, something that we disagree with, because we've created these feeds where it's like Stepford and everyone's the same, we become outraged. How dare they have that opinion? How dare they think that? How dare they vote for that person? Whatever it is. we need to be careful. We are actively quarantining our thoughts and actively putting ourselves into bubbles. So it's no wonder when somebody rocks that boat a little bit, we can fly off the handle. But that's not the real point here. The real point here, and I've talked about this so many times with you before, is that we need to take self-responsibility a lot more. Now, if we say something and that upsets somebody else, you might say, well, that's not on us if they couldn't cope with our opinion. That's on them. Yeah, to an extent, you're right. We all have to take responsibility for our own reactions. Nobody can make us feel another some way. It's our reaction, our response to that person or that situation that creates the feeling within us. But we can make damn sure that we're taking responsibility for the energy, the words, the feelings that we're putting out into the world. We can at least make sure that we are not actively trying to hurt people. And that, for me, is where it all goes wrong.
Do you think those people who look at all those negative comments and take it internally and then insult in a big way and they come out like nastier than hell, which is what you're talking about, and those are the people, a lot of people block and that sort of thing, those people... You know, and I address them up front and kind of insulted them myself. I call them out their insecurities and their weaknesses, Taz, and all of that, you know, which I think it is a reflection of them, not a reflection of us. But the thing is, those people, it appears to me as you're talking, they probably have too, I'm thinking of that kind of a personality now. Those people probably have too much time on their hands, those people. Because when somebody does that in my world, And I'm going to pose this question to you, and I don't know if you think the same way as I'm doing in this regard. When I see somebody do that, so what I'm thinking right now is like, okay, I got a lot to do, Taz. Like, I'm trying to change the world here every moment of the day, but I've got a laundry list and a litany of things to do. Why would I start to engage in this person to, I'm not their psychologist. I'm not going to give them the oxygen in the room to have this evil conversation. But if I was one of those people who wanted to do that, I would assume I have a lot of time in my hands, and that probably means I don't have a lot of goals and dreams. I'm probably sort of just getting by. I don't know. I'm thinking that person has a lot of other issues in their life. Speak to me.
I used to think the same, and I think in the majority of cases, you're probably right. It always says more about the person doing the insulting, the person being the jackass, than it does about the person they're targeting. However, I've got one individual in particular that's been gunning for me now for probably about, I don't know, 2 or 3 years. And I know she's one of the busiest people I know. She does set very high goals, and she has high aspirations. And on the face of it, she is successful. But she still guns for me. Now, other people will tell me that she's jealous, she's insecure, she sees me as a threat, she thinks I'm competition, all of this BS. You know me, I don't believe in competition.
But you don't buy that, though? You don't buy
no.
that?
No. I don't believe in this whole competition attitude. For me, if you're looking on a work front, you can have a gazillion and one, 11 to 12 people in a room all doing the same thing, but they're all going to deliver it differently. So there's no such thing as competition. There's only one of any one of us.
So what is it with her that doesn't fit into that then? What's the problem?
I think she's still carrying stuff from childhood, probably. She's got a lot of bitterness going on. She's probably got some self-loathing going on. And for whatever reason, whether we're talking about this individual or anybody else, some people get their kicks by walking around with a hammer and looking for nails. And she sees me as that nail. I've tried engaging, I've tried talking, but nothing.
So, nothing changes, and somehow another, and we find those people in our lives where you become the target, more or less. It really is, right? It's like a target, and they continue.
If you're willing to wear the target on your back, but I'm not now.
Well, so I was going to say, but yet now it's still bothering you because you brought it up.
I brought it up as an example because it came up again quite recently when I was talking at a business event, and this person was doing everything they could to disrupt. Unfortunately. Did it bother me a little bit? Partially. I thought, really? You're still going on about this after all this time?
Right.
But what really happened was that they made a jackass of themselves in a public setting and everyone brought it up.
Taz, so, I think they always do. Listen now, I think they always do make a jackass out of themselves. Okay, I do believe that's correct. But what I'm wondering from our standpoint, help me here a minute here. You as, because a lot of people can relate to what you just said.
Yeah.
We don't want to care. We don't want to have that person's thoughts or insults penetrate our mindsets. We want to actually, those are the people we should quarantine, you know?
Yeah.
Quarantine those thoughts. But yet somehow they bother us still. Taz. And I don't know if is that a reflection back on ours then? Are we trying to be too what? Too perfect in our lives? Are we trying to worry about what everybody thinks? Why should it matter to us?
I think for me, it goes into a bigger set of teachings. And for me, do they bother me? A little bit, but not in the same way. It's not like she's penetrating my skin and piercing my heart anymore. Now, for me, it's a reminder that there will always be people in the world who don't like you, for want of a better word, who attempt to victimize. And for me, it doesn't bother me as such in that I don't get the same level of pain with it anymore, but it does make me think, okay, that's a reminder, Taz. There are always going to be people in this world. The bigger you get with your message, the more you try and help people. People who don't want to be helped are going to be rocked. Because every time I stand up there and say, hey, life is what you make it, you know, my grass might be greener than yours, it's because I water my grass, then all those people who are sitting in that swamp of misery, that swamp of despair, who get off on being a misery guts, it's going to affect them because I'm holding up that giant mirror. And I know mirror stuff is such a cliche, but that's the way I look at it now.
Well, it is. It's a reflection of who we are. But, you know, you have to use the mirror. Yeah. But listen, Taz, that grass you're talking about, you got to remember now. I think it's important for all of us to remember. Some people know how to water the grass, which indeed it requires that if it's going to be green and beautiful, right? Other people like to piss on the grass. You understand?
Yeah. And then it scorches it and becomes yellow and horrible. Absolutely.
And there you go. I mean, it's as simple as whether you're going to water or piss on your grass. Think about if we could really, in all life's problems, if we could break it down to that simple point of psychology we just put out there, Taz. Am I right or wrong?
I think you're right. But I think the point where is it bothering me? The difference is now that a few years ago, even a few months back even, I don't know, I might have gone, oh, no, my grass isn't greener than yours. Look, here's how you can tend your lawn. Honestly, this is all you need to do. And now I go, screw you. Yeah, my grass is greener because I made it that way.
Well, here's what it is. Let me address that a moment here because you rise to the challenge. So when I was a young boy, one of the lessons I learned, it was that in life, you either take the high road or the low road, Taz. High road, low road, right? Mm-hmm. And you always have
You try and walk in the middle and then you just go arse over elbow.
Now, I think the people in the middle are dying, by the way. Those people, that's BS. And those people can't make a decision to save their lives. And they're like vanilla,
Walk down the middle of the road, what's going to happen? A great big truck's going to come over and run you down.
That's it. Take a position and let's run life with it. And may the majority win when it comes to us as a people, whether it's in countries and elections. Well, the majority is going to win, obviously. We hope. But that's where that comes from. But really, this whole thing, I guess the word would be what do they call it? Lukewarm. I was going to say lukewarm, but it's lukewarm. lukewarm. You can't really be lukewarm and expect to get anywhere. You're not going to be hot or cold. It's important to, I mean, and really, how sad is that if we don't experience life's greatest thrills? And life is designed, Taz, that hot is hot and cold is cold. And we should experience both of those, don't you think?
Absolutely. We can't learn without experiencing both of those extremes. Sometimes if I'm doing coaching or consulting with someone and they'll say, I wish my life could just be level for a while. And I'll say, but hold on a minute. Think about a heart monitor. When that heart monitor has peaks and troughs and, you know, you see the zigzags going up and down the line, that's when you know you're alive. You flatline, you're dead. Nobody wants a flatline.
But I take the high road still. You can still be a canoe rocker and not be an insensitive SOB, right, Taz?
Absolutely. Yes,
and there's the difference. You see, that's kind of that space that I have. Yeah, canoe rocker, yes, but not at the expense of others, Taz, yeah?
You should be able to invite debate without inviting insult. Two different things, and that's where people fall down.
I love it. I love the way you think always. So the article was headlined here, Sometimes People Are Just Dickheads. Now, the word dickhead is used a lot in the UK, actually. It's actually a term that's very lovingly comes from the UK when somebody's a putz or an ignoramus or, well, that guy's a dickhead. And we get that. Now, some people think it's too vulgar or this or that, but it's really just a word. It's just a word. I mean, the guy's a dickhead. He's an ignoramus. And we got it. He's stupid. A fool. Again, are we being too judgmental then? But you say here, in your piece here, if there are people you know that are being treated unfairly or being bullied or outcast by the person, to stand up and make a difference instead of turning a blind eye. Let's talk about that a moment, because I know as a youngster yourself and early on in your life, you were bullied. I remember we've talked about it. I know you were bullied.
Yeah.
And I think we've all been bullied to some point. I think people maybe tried to do that to me, but I tend to kick back and slap people around when you bully me. So I'm not going to be, but people have tried for sure. And that's because, Taz, back to that, you're weird, you're unusual, you're a screwball, or the way I look at it in my life, you're unique. You see? Right? I mean,
or your opinions challenge mine, and that makes me look at myself and I don't feel safe anymore.
I love that statement right there. Your opinions challenge mine, and therefore, well, I don't like you, Taz, right? Is that what it is?
It's not even about not liking someone, is it? It's about sometimes if you challenge somebody else's opinions, right, it makes them think about things they've held deep for a long time. It might not even be their opinions. They might have taken those opinions from parents, from peers, but never really considered them. Somebody challenges them those and they start to rock a little bit. They don't know who they are anymore and they feel scared. And therefore, they need to shut that other person out and go back to their safety zone.
Yeah. So, all right, in the piece here, you say, if two people genuinely dislike one another, there's a personality clash. If one person actively dislikes another and does everything in their power to hurt or discredit them, that's something entirely different. So don't be the blind fool who brushes it under the carpet for the sake of not rocking the boat. What if it was your son or daughter that was happening to? What if you saw good men doing nothing? That's where the fine line is I talked about earlier. You see where I'm at?
Yeah.
Talk about that fine line a moment, please.
Well, you know, that statement came directly out of that situation I was talking about earlier. Where
I knew it did.
Good for me. Yeah.
I know.
And the trouble is, that's in a business scenario. And people don't do anything because they say, oh, well, we know there's a personality clash between Taz and that person. I said, well, there's not a personality clash because I don't have an issue with them. So that's not a personality clash. And I think in this day, and social media hasn't helped with this, we've all become so afraid of rocking the boat that we see someone, if that was online, we'd say it was trolling. We'd say somebody was being a troll, don't feed the trolls. But when it happens in real life, we all start to become afraid of the repercussions. Well, if I say something there, they're going to rock that boat for me, or they're going to say this about me, or maybe they know that thing about me and they might tell other people, oh my God. And so we become good men doing nothing. And that's where we need to be so, so careful. And of course, this happens all over the place. It will happen in, how often do we hear of a kid being bullied in school? And the teachers will say, oh no, we don't have bullying in our school. It doesn't happen. And they turn a blind eye because they're too worried about the reputation of the school, of the establishment, of their business, whatever the scenario, to do anything about it. And nobody calls that person to order. Mm-hmm. And if we're not careful, and I'm not talking about my scenario now, I'm talking about the bigger picture.
Right.
That's where we lead to people who have, you know, depression and breakdowns and even loss of life and suicides and all sorts of things. And we need to be careful. We need to recognize that sometimes if somebody is deliberately rocking somebody else's boat with the intention of capsizing it and drowning that person, we have to call stop. We have to call time. And if we don't, then we're just as guilty. We are culpable.
You know, part of that becomes helping thy fellow man, right?
I mean,
that's just basic decency again. And like I said earlier, high road, low road. You know, you got to go to the high road. And there's a point of that, and then a point of getting involved in people's business, maybe. You know what I mean? Pushing
too hard.
Yeah,
that's another great excuse, though, isn't it? That's another great excuse. People will say, don't wash your dirty laundry in public. Don't do this, don't do that. No, just brush it under the carpet. I tell you, Malcolm, I don't know if it's the same over here, but in this country, there are going to be some houses you go into and there is so much being brushed under the carpet that you need crampons to get across the living room. And come on, we need to start sorting our shit out, don't we? Really?
Well, let me tell you now, friends, that Taz Thornton is a woman of, well, great wisdom, as you just hear, but also great inspiration and great thoughts. Again, remember, all of the roads and the challenges in our lives, I do believe, come into our psyche. It's our human psychology. You can read Taz on a weekly basis right at America Out Loud. Just go under there and look for bloggers, Taz Thornton. One of the next things I want to talk to you all about is, again, is this division we've talked about here. Why, you know, this, well, you're all divided, started with that Reuters poll up front there. We're divided more than ever before, which is just a lot of hogwash, obviously. Americans are supposed to be divided. Human beings are supposed to be divided. I think Taz would probably agree in the UK they're supposed to be divided. And to appoint people, there's a lot of truths to that. We're not all supposed to beat to the same drum. I mean, that's just not the way the world is. So we have to drill down deeper now as to that division. Why would we ever want to stop our division? Why? I mean, the diversity of thought and the diversity of uniqueness, the diversity of opinions and our own collective, this is important. This is what makes us interesting. It's what makes us unique. The problem is having respect for that other opinion, you see? And that respect is what a lot of people don't have. That's the missing ingredient. AmericaOutloud.com is the voice of liberty and justice for all. As we celebrate our four-year anniversary, thank you for making it all possible. Well, shouldn't news deliver truth and inspire us to reach higher? With blogs, podcasts, video, and 24/7 talk radio on our free apps on Apple, Android, or Alexa. We are the vision of the voices, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Our global experts are brilliant writers and engaging hosts on a mission of a lifetime. You'll find the latest news and inspiration on the front page of AmericaOutloud.com.
So we are talking human psychology today. Not so much the COVID business or politics, but it all always comes back to human psychology, right? You know, I've been talking to you about this division. I always love these polls, and I started with the Reuters poll saying, oh, Americans are more divided than ever, or, you know, it's a constant litany of them. In fact, I've got a whole list here just by, if you search, you know, poll on how divided we are, you'll get a whole bunch, you know, headlines. So Americans agree on at least one thing in a new poll, you know, which meaning we don't agree on anything, basically. A poll, most Americans think the country is divided, U.S. News, like, no kidding. I mean, it's supposed to be that way, right? NBC News says, Americans are divided over everything except division. I love that one, by the way. So we're divided, everything except the fact we agree with the fact that we don't agree. Well, that's a beautiful thing. That's an accurate poll, actually. Surprising that came from NBC. That can't be, actually, huh? And, it's a litany list of them. 70%, 77% of Americans perceive the nation as divided. Then you ask yourself, what the hell are the other 23% doing? Well, they sit in the kumbaya world, potentially. Who knows? Yeah. There was an interesting tweet I seen from a woman who always puts out interesting tweets here, Mallory Millett, who we're going to welcome into the program now. Mallory is, by nature in her career, she was a CFO. She's a longstanding director of the David Horowitz Freedom Center. I love the fact that she calls herself a repentant lefty and an unrepentant conservative. That kind of gives you the sense of where Mallory is coming from. And the tweet, Mallory, that I did see, in fact, was this. You said here, well, the initial tweet that you responded to, let me read that one first. It was this. So true. It doesn't matter what political beliefs you have. Look at the situation. People are so divided. They don't realize how bad things are. We got fooled. And it doesn't even matter what the conversation before this was. It's irrelevant. The point is, this person is pointing out that we're divided and it's really bad. It's horrible, man. Come on. Well, Mallory responds this way. And brace yourself, people. It's a classic. She comes back and says, being a lady now, again, remember I talked to you earlier, people, about taking the high road versus the low road? So she takes the high road. She says, please. I love when she starts a response with, please. You know it's coming, right? Stop the divided nonsense. Humans are, by nature, divided. We're quarrelsome. The nature of a sovereign individual. Think. There'll be no time when we're in agreement, right? The very thought of that equals a nightmare. Mallory, I got to tell you what, I seen the tweet and I had a hell of a chuckle to say, oh, she's at it again, trying to correct the world from our faults here. But really, that was the case. You were trying to, you get that a lot on media, don't you, where people think it's a horrible thing we're divided. Talk about that.
Well, I find it really quite hilarious that on the one hand, there are these people who are constantly calling for diversity. We have to have diversity, diversity, diversity. And then on the other hand, it's the exact same people calling for unity, unity, unity. And the thing is that, you know, I come out of the David Horowitz Freedom Center. We have a magazine called Front Page Magazine, and the little motto of that magazine is, inside every liberal is a totalitarian screaming to get out. And this is what I see this as. It's totalitarianism. After all, if we were all united, what would that be? That would be completely unnatural for sovereign human beings. Our founders designed us to be this way. They looked at human nature and they said, wow, everybody quarrels all the time. All they want to do is fight. Let's give them a House of Representatives and a Senate, safe venues where they can quarrel their hearts out and argue as much as they want. And thus they will arrive at truth. This is how we get truth. This is how we make a body of laws.
Well, if we ever became all united, as you just described the scenario a moment ago here, if that ever happened, what would, you know what would happen, Ellery? The earth would fall off its axis. We'd all evaporate. You know that. We'd be gone.
I think so. Well, first of all, it's just a totalitarian dream. If we all agree, then what we have China, we have docile little sheep who just go along with our masters, who all decide what it is we're supposed to think. That's the exact opposite of America. We're all supposed to get into a room and fight our hearts out and then come to whatever conclusions we come to and whatever compromises. That's the whole point of our beautiful system. That's why our system works and communism never, ever works.
That's right.
Because they're demanding unity. You can't get unity out of me. I mean, I'm just going to disagree. If I don't agree, I'm going to disagree.
Well, this is so important what you're talking about right now. Listen to what Mallory says there. I mean, the derivative of all that is a communistic society. Well, it's like the socialism stuff they're trying to push right now, which is communism. It's the same sort of thing. Everybody go along to get along and be PC. And, you know, as I said earlier to folks, STFU or, you know, really, really. I can only say that as a gentleman here. The one thing I want to say to you here, now, let me say this. When you talked about diversity, I love your analysis there about diversity versus, you know, this whole thing about go along to get along and our difference of opinions. There is one area, and see if you agree with me on this, that I think we do need to have diversity. I would almost say back to you, and you might agree with this, we need to have the diversity of thought, the diversity of opinion.
Exactly. Those are the tools that the founders spread out for us to use. They looked at human nature, they analyzed human nature, and they realized if we're going to have strong individuals who are each responsible for his own being, if we're going to have that sort of thing, then these strong individuals all have to get together and they have to debate and argue and figure out which way they want to go together as a group. But you can't have anyone cracking a whip and making us all think one way. That's China. That's Fidel Castro. And my husband and I just came back from Cuba, and I never in my entire life, and I lived in Afghanistan and Pakistan and India, and I've lived in Mexico. I've lived in terrible places, third world places, and I have never seen broken spirits like what I saw in Cuba. Every human being is a broken creature. And it is a terrible sight. I mean, I was crying half the time I was in Cuba. I couldn't stand what these poor people had been robbed of and how they just limped around this terrible slave place, really. And the other thing I want to bring up that I don't see hear anybody bringing up is right now, this big thing we're in with China. Don't you people realize we've never stopped the Civil War? We had a big, huge, bloody war about slavery, and we all had diversity then, and we all disagreed, and we killed each other over slavery. Now, eight decades later, we've decided to outsource our slavery. Oh, wow, there's this big slave labor camp called China, and yes, we can get everything cheaply. But people, we're back using slaves
Interesting.
Again.
Interesting.
America, stop the slavery.
Yeah. What an analysis that is when you think about what you just said. That's a conversation we got to do another day for sure. But the whole thing that, and you know, a lot of our bettors and a lot of the corporate gurus have used China as their bitch, really, Mallory, is what they've done.
Really?
And they've outsourced entire America. Then we wake up one day and we wonder why, well, there's no jobs left here. Well, you sent them all overseas. What the hell do you want? And we're, you know, we're thinking it's really weird that way. And instead of having various classes of people, which there's always going to be here. I mean, it's always part of the makeup of things, as you say here. Now, this whole notion of diversity or the lack, let's draw this out a little bit more. So we talk about diversity of opinion, diversity of thought. You know, the one problem where I draw the line is when people get insulting or they're vulgar or they demean others. In other words, they do it with a mode, and as I talked earlier in the program, Mallory, when people do that, it's more of a reflection of who they are, not who they're putting it on, clearly, you know, when they do that. But that's where it gets a little dicey for a lot of us, when people stoop below the radar. In other words, they take the low road in life, and they use these things to go after people in such a way. Do you know where the fine line is I'm talking about, where people get really nasty into the gutter? What about those folks?
Well, you know, I find that the people who are the enemies of freedom, the people who don't really understand the makeup of our country, they're the ones who do it the most. Their vulgarities, their obscenities, I can never get over it. Whenever I'm fighting with the left, all they ever seem to be able to do is come back with obscenities and insults and descriptions of people's bodies and characters and stuff, instead of actually discussing the issue at hand.
So they don't discuss the policy, you're saying. They don't discuss the policy. They make it personal at that point, don't they?
Yeah. And they start using really incredibly offensive language and revolting language.
So what do you do in that case when that happens? Now, hold on. Do you engage, continue with them? In other words, how low do you sink in the gutter before you turn that person off?
Well, you know, one of the weird things that happens, Malcolm, that goes on all the time, is the minute you start stating your case, they always just leave the room. I never saw anything like it. The next thing you know, you're looking at their back fading off into the distance. They will not stay and have a clean debate. They just won't do it because they know they don't have a leg to stand on. They just don't have a leg to stand on, these people, these Antifa people, really violent people who are offensive and crude. I find that Robert De Niro is one of these people. All he does is get up and use the F word.
F-bomb, yeah.
F. Yeah. And then that's his argument. And meanwhile, he's made a fool of himself.
Yeah.
The whole thing is a lose-lose-lose
situation. How sad
that
is. How sad what you just said is. Here we've taken a classic, what many would have considered, Mallory, a great American actor in his day, you know, that he was.
Yeah.
And here, he took his, I mean, and we all, you know, the De Niro back in the day that did all those classic, I mean, he was beloved. He was totally beloved. I think people like that, I think they have probably very much some mental problems. I think their minds have gone south some, don't you think?
Everybody that I've met is like that. You can tell is really fairly psychologically limited. You know, they've got some sort of problem psychologically. And I think a lot of these superstars like this, you know, it must be very hard to be Jane Fonda. It must be very hard to be these people because they can't get any attention anymore. Nobody wants to hire them anymore. They're not getting anywhere as actors, and they're used to being supreme in the spotlight, and everybody adoring them and adulating them, and to have that not happening, I just think they're just up there rattling their empty casket, just rattling their empty cage so that people will pay attention to them.
Yeah, you just hit the nail on the head as to why a lot of people wonder why those people won't go away. Mallory, what you say there is perfect. I mean, they are dying for the publicity. They don't quite know how to get it. So what they do is they pick up the megaphone to our society is what they do. And then what they do next is they piss on the cornflakes. You know that.
Yeah.
Right?
That's a very funny line. I've never heard that before.
Yeah, I use it all the time. It's one of my isms. I got a whole bunch of them. But I mean, that's what they're doing, essentially, Mallory. I mean,
I think that there's a new addiction. It's not a new addiction, but I've just pointed it out anew right now. And that is that, you know, all this stuff with a lot of this transsexualism and, you know, dressing up as a girl when you're 9 years old and walking into the room, or dressing up as a girl when you're 20 years old and walking into the room, it's an adrenaline junkie. You know, the minute you do a thing like this, you cause such shock. You know, my sister was such a firebrand. My sister, Kate Millett, was this big feminist leader. And she loved to walk into a room and just shock the socks off of people. Mm-hmm. Do or say something that would just make everyone go, oh, what is she saying? What is she? And then she would get this rush of adrenaline, you know. And I think that adrenaline junkiness, I think that's the new opioid, the new heroin, the new, everybody wants to cause a big flow of adrenaline when they walk into the room. And
well,
they get
Mallory,
such a rush out of that.
You are so on it. I mean, it's funny because you earlier in the program, I addressed the fact that the reason people get on social media and they expound these horrible adjectives, as you said, and they get really nasty in the gutter, because what it is, it's an endorphin rush for them. They're getting, it's their crack. It's their whole measure of what they live for. But these people typically are void of a lot of things. First of all, they're void of any common sense or intelligence, but they're, but they're full of all of this insincerity. And what their objective in life is to pull you down, because they don't know how to raise themselves up. So you see, here's the problem. There's a disparity here. So instead of them, they can't raise themselves up. So their only goal is to try to pull you down to their level. Pretty sick, isn't it?
Really, really, and terribly childish. I mean, it's really sort of not much past age 5 or 6, you know, where you walk into the room and say something shocking about mommy and all, everybody in the living room freezes.
Well, most of the people in political circles are doing that, Mallory. It's running a lot of our political debate today, is a lot of this garbage. In fact, you know, the one thing I admire about you is that, amongst many other things, but on social media, you don't worry about likes and followers. That is not your game on there at all. You just put your truth. Well, it is. You just put the out loud truth out there. And if you like it, great. And if you don't, tough shit.
Yeah, my husband looked at my Twitter thing yesterday and he said, oh, you have 745 followers. And I said, yes, I've only got 745. He says, but every one of them is real, honey. You earned everyone, because apparently people buy followers and do all kinds of things like that. I'm not aware. Yes,
I don't really know.
But I've just ended up with the people that I have just by being myself. You know, I
absolutely love what you say there. And your husband is spot on to say that. But they're actually real followers, love. You're doing a good job. Well, think about that in life, though. Is it better to have 745 genuine people who you're engaging with? Or is it better to have, you know, 7,045 phonies, right?
Well, that's what these attention-hungry stars want, you know. They want just adulating millions, people falling at their feet. It's really a trip. Yeah.
Well, Mallory, this I want to get your thought. This other final thought we have here is about why people we tend. I find that within the social media world, and actually in the media world, in these circles, people are only hanging with like-minded people. People are very offensive to the other opinion. It's like, oh my God, you're a, you know, again, it's STFU immediately. You know, it's like, I don't want to hear what you have to say. You know, we've been in this quarantine mode where it was, oh, lockdown, which is absolutely crazy. We know that. We've talked about it to the nth degree. But here's the thing. Haven't in a lot of wicked ways people quarantine their thoughts and their brains by associating themselves only with people who think the way they think?
Absolutely. I mean, it's what they're teaching them in college. They're teaching them to be that way. And, you know, when I was in college, we were never, you know, well, I actually went to the University of Minnesota, where there was a lot of Marxist indoctrination. But still, we still had this principle of people thinking for themselves and people making their own deductions from their own perspective. You know, we're all put here to give witness from our perspective. And every single person has a different perspective from every other person. And it's fascinating to hear other people's perspectives, you know?
It really is fascinating. Mallory, I always love hearing yours, I have to tell you. And you know, what's interesting, friends, with the program today, and let me point out to you something that certainly was not lost on me. I thought how unique this is. Inside of one show, one program today, we'll talk to a far-left liberal from Europe, who's a terrific gal, inspirational speaker, an awesome person, but doesn't push her opinion on other people in the way that we've just expressed. I mean, she is of the class and would fall into, actually, you know, come to think of it, I bet you Taz and Mallory would have a hell of a conversation at a local bar somewhere, even though she's a left thinker and Mallory is, as she says, an unrepentant conservative now. She's changed in her life. Interesting, though, but what we've just done is we've brought the diversity of opinion and the diversity of thought to the voice of a nation. Now, how cool is that, people? Right? I mean, this is what I live for. Is to bring the different thought processes in and have a real conversation. Nobody cried. Nobody left the room angry. I mean, we talked as adults in real sense of thought. And this is what I encourage you to do out there. That is actually the entire purpose of America Out Loud. It's our entire purpose here, people. It's, I say here at the top of our platform, shouldn't news deliver truth and inspire us to reach higher? Well, that's a big question. I think it should. I think if you listen to the wrong cats and it's all doom and gloom and we're all going to explode and die of COVID or something, well, then, you know, you're listening to the wrong people, clearly. I mean, life is a gift. We've all been gifted with this amazing life. If we're going to really preserve future generations, as I suggest to you all the time, I think we need to get with it, people. And we need to continue to take on the challenges of the generation we're in right now. Or we will go down as living in the most screwed up generation ever. There's a message there you need to take to heart here as we spread the truth here from sea to shining sea. So all we can do here is put it out there. There's a lot of lessons in here today within the psychology of all of this. And I really wanted to talk today about the psychology of the human race. I think all the conversations we have out there and all the spittering and the debate and the discussion, and it's all good. It's all important to have these discussions. It's what makes our country the most amazing shining city on a hill that it could possibly be. I think if anything, you should have a jump in your step today. And this conversation should leave you with the thought that we are not all cracking up. We are not all dying. Our division is not like a cancer. It is meant to be this way, as Mallory pointed out here. Big thank you to Taz Thornton, Mallory Millett. Friends, let's keep it going. Let's keep this diversity of opinion and thought going and take the high road in life. We can do this. We can do this with the utmost class and style and still get the job done, right? And if not, just tell your neighbor to STFU. Oh, boy. Well, listen, thank you for joining me and being part of the mission here. It's time to get involved and get loud.